Let me tell you what this month is about. This month is about believing God for your breakthrough. This month is about believing God for your breakthrough. I believe that God is good. Okay, then keep it up, because all these statements are going to be true. That he is mighty beyond measure, right? And that his heart is to accomplish in your life, and his heart is to accomplish in my life, those things that we long for in him. I do not believe that the power of God showing up in our lives is, you know, kind of reserved for only certain Christians. Maybe if you're on an A list, you're in, and the rest of us, you know, we're B or C list, and we don't quite qualify. Rather, I believe that it is the will of God that every follower of Jesus Christ experience the very kinds of breakthrough moments that we are talking about this month. So I want to challenge you, even as we're just getting started here, I want to challenge you to dare to engage heart and soul in what we're about to study together. I would encourage you to begin to identify that place where you need God to move, that change that you need God to bring about, that challenge that you need the Lord to help you to be able to rise to, even as we're just getting started, to focus on that thing that may seem impossible for you right now, but is absolutely fully possible for God. For some of you, that might concern your work, right? Your job, or your need for a job, or your need for the right job, okay? And some of you, that concerns a relationship where you need a breakthrough. Or maybe for some of you, that just concerns a sense of purpose or an emotional lift. You've been listless, or maybe you've just been down and out depressed for too long now, and you need God to bring an emotional breakthrough in your life, to bring the joy of the Lord supernaturally into you. And what I have been praying about in the moments that we share today and throughout this month, the moments we share, I am praying that these would be a catalyst for God to challenge you and to enable you to believe him for the breakthrough moment you need. Now, to that end, this morning, I want us to look at a story that's maybe a bit obscure from the scriptures. And when I say story, let me just be clear that I'm not talking about fable. I'm not talking about legend. I believe that as remarkable as this story is that we'll read this morning, it is a record of human history. It's found in the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 10, where Joshua is leading the children of Israel in the conquest of Canaan, this land that God promised to give them when he brought them up out of Egypt and made them a people. And the Israelites under Joshua's leadership are just about to go to battle against an alliance of five Canaanite kings. And this will be one of the most difficult and significant battles that they have faced. And in Joshua chapter 10, verse 7, the Bible says that Joshua and his whole army, including all the mighty warriors, came from Gilgal. I wish I had time to talk about that for a minute, but just know that Gilgal was a place of consecration, a place of dedication of themselves to the Lord and the purpose that he had for them. And the Lord said to Joshua about this alliance of five Canaanite kings, "Do not be afraid of them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand against you." Notice, please, that when God speaks to Joshua about a battle that Joshua has not yet even begun to engage in, God already speaks in past tense. "I have given them into your hand." From Joshua's perspective, the battle hasn't even started yet, but God speaks as if the battle is already over. Oh, if you're going to, now, I heard a guy say, "That's just salad. We haven't got to the steak yet. Hang on, all right?" I mean, here's the deal. You serve a God who speaks about battles that you are presently engaging, or perhaps battles that you have not yet begun to fight in, right? God speaks of those battles in the past tense. "I have given them into your hand," because from his vantage point, they are already won. Jesus has already made us victorious. Verse 9, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. And those town names don't mean anything to us, so just think Oskaloosa, Ozaukee, Valley Falls, Hoyt, Merritt, and that sort of thing, all right? As they fled before Israel on the road down from Valley Falls to Merritt, you dig deep enough in the Hebrew, I'm sure it's right there somewhere. As they fled, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Dude, right? I mean, are you kidding me? Hail, I'm going to preach sometime. Hailstones from heaven. Right? People say the Bible's boring. I heard somebody say the other day, the Bible's not boring, you're boring. Right? Just read it. Here it is. Hailstones, right? All right. And on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, listen to this prayer, "Oh, sun, stand still over Gibeon." Excuse me. "Oh, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." It's only 13 words, but that is a prayer of cosmic consequence. And I want you to see what God did in response to the faith of just this one man, Joshua. Verse 13, "So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation took vengeance on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the day and delayed going down about a full day." Delayed going down about a full day. And then the Bible goes on to say, "There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man." Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. I just want you to know that I believe that the same God who made the sun stand still for Joshua and Israel, the same God who had the capacity to raise his only son from the dead, longs to show himself strong and mighty and miraculously powerful in the life of every man, woman, boy, or girl who will call on his name and believe him to do the impossible. And I am hungry that God would do such enormous things through me and through you, and through this church that he has made us a part of, that wherever you are, listen to me, and whatever your situation looks like, when people size it up and compare it to what your situation ought to look like based upon your capacity, based upon your ability, they have nobody to blame but God, right? They have nobody to give glory to but God for the supernatural results that he creates in your life. Let me do my best to make this something personal for you, and I want to just give you a few practical applications from this story. And before I do that, I do want to encourage you to make it a priority to be here next week as well, because my intention next Sunday is to address some of the objections that some of you love Jesus, but you might just kind of be raising some objections in your heart right now about your particular situation, because we know that, what we all know is that it's a lot easier to believe that the sun could stand still for Joshua than that it could stand still for you. Right? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. That's a powerful man of God, right? This is Moses' protege. It's easier to believe that the sun would stand still for some guy in the Bible or for some believer halfway across the world or maybe for the full-time pastor or preacher, because all we have to do all day is pray and read the scriptures, and who wouldn't be full of faith with the life we lead? We all know that it's easier to believe that God could break through for someone else than it is to believe that God could break through for us, right? When your whole life consists of changing diapers or raising middle schoolers or making the boss man happy, sometimes you think maybe this isn't for you. I am telling you that it is for you. Some of you are in a situation right now where you don't see how God could do it, where God could break through in your world, but I tell you that what we are learning this morning is not contingent upon your circumstances, but it is contingent upon the character of God, who we said is good and powerful and ready to work in our circumstances. He has promised to do infinitely more, infinitely more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is already at work within us. Somebody said it like this: if the size of the need in your life seems too big for you, it's just the right size for God. So if you're in a situation today and you say the only way this can happen is if God does it, you're right in God's wheelhouse. He specializes in these kinds of scenarios. His power, his goodness is tailor-made for the breakthrough you need. Joshua chapter 10, let's explain the passage just a little further, give it a little context. Essentially, I think the context is important because the truth is that Joshua got himself into trouble leading to the miracle that he needed, all right? Joshua made a mistake. Joshua made an unwise alliance with some people that he should have defeated. And now he finds God, now he finds himself needing God to get him out of a situation that he got himself into. Have any of you ever needed God to get you out of a situation that you got yourself into? Yeah, the rest of you need your hands in the air. Just telling you. God, I racked up this debt, but I really want to get my life in order so that I can be generous and do this your way. God, I married... Look, don't look at your spouse. Don't say amen. God, I married the wrong person. Right? Now I don't see how this can ever be right. God, I know I've not been the parent I needed. My children are far from God, but I need you to bring them back. God, I've trusted money. I've pursued money or popularity or comfort or the next thrill or whatever for a long time, but now I'm realizing that none of that can make my life complete, and I need you, oh God, to show up in my life in a powerful and undeniable way. If you have ever gotten yourself into a situation where you needed God to get you out of, there is hope for you today in this story of Joshua. God is able to turn your mistake into a miracle. You have to read Joshua chapter 9. You have to read chapter 9 to get the whole story, but Joshua is fighting this alliance of five Canaanite kings to defend a group that he should have defeated, not aligned with. But as we pick up the story in chapter 10, Joshua has committed to do the right thing, and even though Joshua is outnumbered, God has shown up, and the victory that Joshua needs is within reach, it's within sight. But as Joshua is just about to finish off his adversaries, the sun begins to set. And if the sun sets in the darkness, the enemy is going to get away. And the text does not say this explicitly, but in my imagination, Joshua remembers this promise he has from God that not one of his enemies will stand against him, that God's promise to him and God's plan for him is that he and the children of Israel will occupy the land that God has promised them. And so Joshua, in what must have been a moment of desperation, a pivot point in his life and his leadership for Israel, Joshua prays something that he's never prayed before, that he's never seen anyone else pray before. He cries out for a breakthrough moment out loud. Listen, out loud in the presence of the whole nation, Joshua cries out to God, "Oh, sun, stand still." And I know that some of you think, "Oh, that's not fair." I believe that many of you think that prayer should always be this peaceful, subdued, reflective moment. I heard somebody say this about the cry of blind Bartimaeus towards Jesus. We may talk about this a little bit next week, but did you hear him crying out in the Gospels, "Son of David, have mercy on me"? And he cries out again, all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And this person said about that, because desperation has a sound to it. And Joshua, in the hearing of the whole nation, offers this desperate prayer, and God answers the prayer. God responds, "Oh, sun, stand still." And we all know that from our wiser 21st century scientific perspective, Joshua prayed the wrong thing, right? Some of you are already there, right? That's not the way this works, Pastor Kent. It's not the sun that needs to stand still. The earth revolves around the sun, or did you miss the memo? Joshua has not even prayed the right thing. Did you know, I almost hate to admit this, but did you know that God is not nearly as hung up about preciseness, about precision in our language, in our prayers, as I am? He is not insulted when your prayer is imperfect. He may be insulted when your prayer is puny. Oh, Jesus, be with me today and bless me. Okay, but I already planned on doing that, right? Right? I mean, read the scripture, wherever you go, there I am, right? Wherever you're headed, there I already am ahead of you. So I'm not really insulted by your prayer there. But, you know, when are you going to ask me for something that matters? I don't want to put words in the mouth of God, but when are you going to ask me for something that matters? Joshua got bold enough to say, Lord, I know your promises. I know you promised me that nobody is supposed to be able to stand against your people. And according to your promise that you made me when I started out as the leader of this nation, I need a breakthrough. I need it right now. And so I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to pray it boldly. I'm going to pray it in the presence of all Israel. And for what it's worth, Joshua's prayer was not a prayer of arrogance, but it was a prayer of humility. Perhaps the greatest humility you can demonstrate is to put yourself in a position where if God doesn't come through, you're the one who's going to look stupid. Perhaps the humblest thing you can do is to say, God, only you can do it. Would you make the sun stand still for me? Would you break through for me? Oh, sun, stand still. I was challenged by something I heard Stephen Furtick say the other day. Still challenged today. He said, if the size of your vision for your life isn't intimidating to you, there's a good chance it's insulting to God. I'll say that again and let all the shouting die down, right? If the size of your vision for your life isn't intimidating to you, there's a good chance it's insulting to God. If there's nothing you're believing God for in your life that's big, that's so big that it is impossible for you, wouldn't the God of the universe, who invites us and who challenges us to believe Him for the realities of heaven to be expressed in our lives, who has challenged and taught us to pray, come, thy kingdom be done, thy will on earth, in me, through me, as it is in heaven. Wouldn't the God of the universe have reason to be insulted by our puny prayers? Because what you ask God for is a direct reflection of what you believe about His capacity, about His character, about His nature, about His love for you. So as I think about Joshua and this breakthrough prayer, sun, stand still. I'm wondering what breakthrough prayer you need to pray today. I'm wondering what the impossible thing is that God wants to do through your life, in your life, and I'm wondering if you're bold enough and daring enough to pray it. We've called this series Breakthrough because of a movie of the same name that's being released later this month. Debbie and I were privileged to see that movie last November. I've told you before, I'm not generally a fan of what we tend to call Christian movies. This is just personal opinion. If you enjoy them, I bless you in Jesus' name. If you like Hallmark, help yourself. God bless you. I just think for me that many Christian movies tend to be kind of schmaltzy and predictable, and they do not always account well for some of the challenges that life presents. But Breakthrough, it's the name of the film, seems different to me in part because it is rooted, it's not just a script. It's the retelling of a true story. It's a recent story. It's a verifiable story. You can Google the story and find all the newspaper accounts and television newscasts you want to validate the legitimacy of the way this film accounts for events that took place in 2015, just about 300 miles east of here in St. Charles, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. And in January of 2015, 14-year-old John Smith. Yeah, I know that sounds like John Doe or something. No, it's his real name, John Smith, all right? 14-year-old John Smith was with a couple of buddies when he fell through the ice on Lake St. Louis. John was submerged in the water for 15 minutes before being rescued, before being pulled from the water. Shouldn't say rescued because he was lifeless when they pulled him out. The human brain can survive at max for about 6 minutes after the heart stops. He'd been submerged for 15, but in spite of the prognosis, in spite of the fact that the rescue workers couldn't see that there was any hope for John, he was transported to a local hospital where doctors continued to treat him. But after he'd been without a pulse for about 45 minutes, the doctors gave up. His mother, Joyce Smith, Spirit-filled Assemblies of God, Christ follower, was at the hospital, and they brought her into the room so that she could say her goodbyes to her son. I want to show you what happened, and this is, yes, I get it. This is a dramatization, right? This is a film. But I am telling you again, after we're done here today, Google John Smith, St. Louis drowning, and you will discover that this is not film fiction, right? These are fully documented events from just 4 years ago in Missouri, right? That state we love to despise, but Jesus still loves Missourians. Just telling you, when we get to heaven, there are going to be Tiger fans there. Now, they'll be made perfect, so maybe they won't be Tiger fans anymore. Do you know how much I'm going to have to edit of this before it goes online? All right, just January 2015, watch this.
Joyce will be right outside. Please, take as long as you need to say goodbye.
Wrap this up. Listen to me. That is not fiction. That is history. That is recent history. That is January 2015 history. That is on our continent in the next adjoining state history. God is not done doing great things. And some of you need a breakthrough moment. Some of you need a sun stand still intervention. And I believe what the Bible says when it says Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, forever, right? And whether your prayer comes out of some heartbreaking season, Holy Spirit, save my son, or you are in the middle of some difficult battle, son, stand still. Son, stand still. He, our God, who himself took on flesh and bore our sin and died, but rose again, is still the God of the breakthrough. So I am asking you, listen to me, I am asking you, what is your need? What is your point of desperation? Maybe it's something you wouldn't even dare let show up in your life on a Sunday morning because, you know, we all got our stuff together, right? You wouldn't dare let anybody know it. Where in your life must God break through if you're going to see his power displayed? Where in your life can you not fix for yourself? And you know that. You know that only through divine intervention is the change going to come. Where is that for you? Where in your life could only God get the glory because it is so far beyond your capacity to do anything about it? Bow your heads for just a minute. Where in your life and for what in your life are you ready to believe God? For some of you, it might be pretty simple. It might be just this. You need to get saved, right? You need to get right with Jesus. You need your sins forgiven, and you know you can't do that. You know you stand in need of the forgiveness of the God who formed you, and you feel that in your heart right now. And I want to ask you if that's you. Listen, I'm not going to waste a lot of time. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand real quickly and hold it up so I can see it. All right. All right. All right. Wonderful. All right. Hang on with me just a minute. I want you to hold steady for just a minute. The greatest miracle you will ever experience is the forgiveness of God. So that's going to happen. But some of you are here and you need a different breakthrough. And it might be family, and it might be job, and it might be emotions, and it might be spiritual health. It might be finances. It might be friendship. It might be the breaking of addictions in your life. And if that's you, I am here to tell you that the God who made the sun stand still, the same God who resuscitated a young boy who had been without a pulse for 45 minutes, the same God who moved past the barrier of a stone in front of a sealed tomb, a guarded tomb, to raise his son from the dead, that same God is still working miracles today. And if you need a breakthrough miracle in your life and you're ready to believe God for it, I challenge you to lift your hand up in the air right now. Come on. Come on, all over the place. Come on, all over the place. And now I want everybody who lifted their hand, whether you lifted your hand because you need to get right with Jesus or whether there's some other miracle you need in your life, I'm asking you to leave your seat across this auditorium and come to the front of this sanctuary as a statement that you believe God for the breakthrough you need, as a way of saying in front of all Israel, I'm believing God for this thing. And together, listen, together, as the worship team moves us into the presence of God, I'm asking you to cry out to God in desperation and say to him, Holy Spirit, save my son. Son, stand still. Whatever it is you need from God, I am asking you not to be quiet and not to be passive, but to be aggressive, all of us together, in the pursuit of the miracle we need, because our God is still the God of the breakthrough. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus and let's cry out to him together. Come on, church.